I'm livid at Michael Jordan for portrayal in The Last Dance.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
He's upset. You have Horace Grant ripped MJ. Lie, lie, lie. If MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like men. He then went on to talk about the accusation of being called a snitch. Horace Grant said, well, if I'm a snitch, what is MJ for airing out the 84 Bulls and their cocaine circus? What does that make him?
A hypocrite.
Airing every day
from noon to 3.
Horace said he's the snitch. Scott Burrell, that was heartbreaking to watch, to see a guy, a leader, to go at guys like that. I understand in terms of practicing you have to push and shove here and there, but outright punching and things of that nature and calling them B's and H's, that wasn't called for.
1340 WKG.
What are H's?
I'd imagine hose.
Hose?
Yeah, like for yard work.
Why would he call his teammates hose?
That's an insult people use.
It is?
Yeah.
Men to other men?
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you that. You a hoe.
Hour 3 is brought to you by our phone line sponsors. Those are the G3 Help Me hotlines. And they're brought to you by the law offices of G. Turner Howard III, based right here in Knoxville. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-558-8030 if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident. They serve all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Russell Smith, Bear, Trey Wallace. They'll be taking your phone calls on the G3 Help Me hotlines. And I'm sure people are still going to be very mad. They did a pretty long, pretty good voluntary action as well. But people are still going to have more to say. So the drive will take your phone calls. Starting at 3 o'clock, go ahead and get your script ready for the G3 Help Me hotlines. Hour 3 headlines. What do you got for me, Draven?
You seen Arizona Wildcats basketball team in some trouble? They had this investigation. Has it not been going on for like ever? Didn't this start with DeAndre Ayton? Right?
It takes many years to get ready. I guess
it's kind of ridiculous, but they have been served with 9 allegations of misconduct, including 5 level 1 allegations, which I'm guessing a little bit higher, the most serious under NCAA rules. Following a multi-year investigation of its men's basketball program, sources confirmed they're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble for a while. A bunch of sanctions going to be handed down to Arizona. I guess it did start with DeAndre Ayton, right? They were paying Ayton. That's where it kind of started. And then I guess other stuff kind of leaked out.
Yep.
Coming out of this.
Yep.
So, yeah, they finally, after a long investigation, they're going to be handing down some penalties.
Sean Miller is done in that town.
Yikes. Yeah, that went from real well to real bad, huh? Real quick.
They paid all that money just to get their ass beat by Buffalo in the second round of that tournament.
They did. I can't believe they lost that Buffalo team. Was it a 4 seed, right?
I'm pretty sure Buffalo killed them, too.
Wasn't there? Yeah, it was 20 points, wasn't
it?
Yeah. I want to say Arizona's like a 4. It was a 4-13 matchup, and they ended up getting beat. Oof. Yep. Pretty rough. Other college football news. Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney, he was getting questioned about the team's energy level to start the game against Syracuse. And finally, Dabo just pretty much stopped all the questions, was like, whoa, I want to make sure I'm in the right press conference. We did win the game, I think. I am in the right spot. You don't usually score 47 points if you don't have the right energy. Pretty much saying, you know, we made some mistakes, just didn't execute. But is that just the expectations with Clemson now? Like, I mean, a blowout win, and we're still kind of like, hey, you didn't look a little slow on energy, right?
I mean, it has to be frustrating for Dabo because, I mean, like, Dabo's not worried about covering the spread.
Right.
Dabo's not worried about what they're supposed to beat Syracuse by. Like, if they won a one-possession game, like, it's okay to be mad at. Like, when they beat North Carolina, you could be like, hey, Dabo, what the hell happened here? But, like, if I'm Dabo, I'm like, we won by 26 points. It's hard to get up for all these games. Like, put us against Notre Dame and see what happens. Like, you guys told us Miami was ready for us, and look what happened. Like, don't talk to me while we're still winning games by 20 points. If I'm Dabo, I'm like, shut the hell up. But it's also, like, I mean, that's whenever you start winning and you create those expectations, it's hard to live up to them.
We've seen that with Bama, right? Kind of. That's just kind of how it is with Alabama as well. But Clemson, they do play Notre Dame. 2 weeks from now, November 7th.
That's simply what I would say if I was Devil. I was like, check back in with me whenever we play Notre Dame. You'll see. Yep. You'll see.
2 weeks from now.
I'm not going to have to do much to get the boys up to ready to play Notre Dame. It's hard to get a noon game motivated team to beat up on Syracuse after they lost to Liberty, got smoked by Liberty, and we beat Georgia Tech by 70 points. Like, I'm sorry we can't do that every week. Check back in. We're still averaging. Take our last two games, Georgia Tech and Syracuse, and then we're still averaging a 45-point victory, okay? We won one by 70 and one by 25. We're doing fine. Get the hell out of here.
Trevor Lawrence did come out and say that the energy was low, didn't play the best game, blah, blah, blah.
It has to be low. No one in the world can get up for every game. That's why no NFL team has gone undefeated since the Dolphins.
Well, Patriots, regular season.
Well, they lost the Super Bowl, but yeah. I mean, like, sure. But yes, the Patriots, regular season. Okay, there's been one team since the 72 Dolphins. There's been one team the last 40 years go undefeated.
Under the game.
And the one game they lost would be the one that you would theoretically think they got up for. But even those Patriots teams, like, they sleptwalked through. Like, they beat a 3-win Baltimore team, but, like, a last-second touchdown.
The Giants should have beat them. Was it, like, the last game of the year? I remember they played on,
it was, like, a 38-35 game or something like that. Like
a shootout.
And the Giants said that's what gave them confidence for the Super Bowl. Whatever. Like, whatever they want to say. But, like, teams, it's hard to be up for every game. That's in the NFL. It's even harder when you have college kids and they're at noon and the times get jerked around and they got tests and who knows, they got COVID to deal with. Like, it's just, if I was Dabble, I'd be mad too. Just like, shut up. We won by 26.
Exactly,
shut up.
And that's exactly how you reacted. Speaking of COVID, Purdue head coach Jeff Brohm, it looks like he will be able to return to the team.
I wish I was a head coach. I could just do stuff like that.
That'd be the fun part of being head coach. Not worried about the team or nothing, just how you react in interviews.
It would. But, like, it's funny because, I mean, like, those with that, like, to be Dabo, like, nothing the media says is going to bother Dabo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dabo has already let you know that with all his comments. Like, Dabo's going to say whatever he wants to say. Like, he hasn't really backed down much. But, like, yeah, like, if you have that winning pedigree, like, Nick Saban can say whatever the hell he wants in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to do a damn thing to him. Bill Belichick, the same way. Although, you know, Bill Belichick, if he's too mean to the media now, they're going to be talking about how he's lost his fastball and how he can't win without Brady. So, and eventually, and that's why people do it, because eventually it's going to backfire and you don't want to give people ammunition.
Right.
Yeah, like Mike Leach. People are just waiting. Leach. Come get him. Anyways, any more headlines?
Yeah, going to talk about the Miami Heat real quick, shit over NBA. I know we're not in NBA season, but Pat Riley, he did have some interesting words talking about the team. He said,
we're not that far off from NBA season.
That's true. That is true.
We're 2
right.
months away.
Yeah,
we are.
That is true.
Sort of kind of right in the middle.
This is the offseason. This is the time, right? And the way he's talking, it doesn't really sound like he's looking to bring anybody into Miami. He said the first priority is to take care of the players that we have, worry about them, and we'll go from there, but there wasn't really, when it came to just...
Not buying it.
The main message of kind of what he was talking about is basically he just wants this to run it back with the same team.
Not buying it.
I don't know. Goran Dragic is the big free agent on the team.
They'll give Goran Dragic... I'm guessing they're going to give him like a one-year $20 million deal. Or like $15
million. Yeah. 1 or 2 years.
No, not 2 years.
Not even two?
No, because next year is the year where everybody's a free agent, so they don't want him on the books. So,
that's
like,
true.
They just want Bam and Jimmy on the books in terms of, you know, having any type of big money.
Also, Hero, I guess, Jay Crowder, Derrick Jones, a couple of, you know.
Well, I think Crowder and them's gone by next year. Like, they're pretty much set up to have double max space in 2 years. So, they will give Dragic a big one-year deal. And the only person they would bring in, like, the... Maybe it wouldn't even be Oladipo. Like, I don't even know if they'll bring in like an Oladipo. But they can get Bradley Beal. They'll go trade for Bradley Beal.
I think that would be a decent fit.
Yeah.
Ball handler, score.
Yeah. If they can trade for Giannis, they'll go trade for Giannis. But those are probably not likely to happen before the year. Maybe at the trade deadline. So Pat Riley's going to say the right thing. Hey, we just went to the finals. Right. We're going to run it back.
Well, let me ask you this. And Hayden, you pitch in too as a Heat fan. If this team runs it back about the same roster, no key additions, what are the chances they get back to the finals with the, you know, all these improving teams, the Nets and everybody?
How much is Bam Adebayo going to improve? How much is Tyler Hero improve?
I mean, how much can the Bam improve?
I think Bam can improve a lot.
I think
if Bam develops any type of jump shot, Bam's going to be Bam still hasn't given himself even a 15-foot jumper.
Then again, really. I mean, I don't know how much more he can add. He averaged, what, this year, 15, 8?
Right, but I mean, like, just his spacing and having any type of shot. I mean, like, he can add that.
Totals, yeah.
To me, Bam can still improve a lot.
Hero could
improve his ball handling and just get bigger and stronger. Duncan Robinson can improve a little bit. Like, if those guys improve a lot, then I'll give them a 20% chance. But, like, they're not the favorites, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I see those guys improve. Like, it's still going to be a four-team race in the East. The Bucks are probably still going to be the regular season best team because that's what they do. I want to see what the Nets look like and who they add. I mean, because they got the two best players. They got the best duo. Like, Durant, at 90%, is still the best player in the East, in my opinion. Right? If Durant's 90% of what he was, he's still the best player in the East?
I would say, yeah. Him or Giannis, I don't know.
I guess I'd just say, like, the one I trust the most in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Giannis would be better in the regular season, sure, but I would rather have Durant when it comes time for the playoffs.
I agree with that. I just think it's interesting. I mean, no additions to this team, same exact team, and you're right, there are young players who are going to get better, but East is going to be a lot different. I mean, maybe Milwaukee had somebody too, you don't know.
Yeah, no,
I mean
there
could be a lot of different moves.
Yeah,
right.
Like there's a lot of teams who could improve. So I'll say the Heat will be one of the four or five teams, but I'm not making them the favorite.
All right, and then last real quick headline. First, I want to say Christian McCaffrey doesn't look like he's going to be playing Thursday night against your Falcons camp. He's considered a long shot at this point. Of course, he's been out the last few weeks with an injury. Got placed on IR, so they'll see. Most likely looks like he'll be back next week. And also Tom Brady. Talked a little bit about Tom Brady. Just how about him passing up Drew Brees on the career touchdown list. Led the Buccaneers. Big win. And also a little bit more history. Him and Gronk have now connected on 92 career touchdowns, including playoffs. That's tied for the second most in NFL history with Steve Young and Jerry Rice. Wow. Could you guess who is number one, by the way?
Say that one more time.
They have now connected career touchdown passes, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Between between a quarterback and a receiver.
You guys who number one is?
Yeah.
It's Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison.
Look at Hayden. Hey, did you see that earlier today?
I didn't see it today. I saw it like... last week when he had the touchdown last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But, so Brady Gronk now tied for second, and Gronk's starting to get going, so...
Yeah, Gronk looks good.
He looks good. Bucks, I mean, is this Bucks offense? We
John
kinda
was right
doubted
about
him.
It.
We kind of doubted him throughout the week. I mean, is this the best offense in the NFL?
No. The Bucks offense? No.
I mean...
Best in the NFL? No.
Couple good receivers, good running backs, couple good tight ends. They got about good at everything.
No, they're good, but come on, the Raiders defense is
terrible.
About as bad as it gets.
Well, whose offense is better in Tampa's? Just
the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
The Titans.
Titans.
The Seahawks. All still better, in my opinion. Hmm. I'm just not going to overreact to the Raiders defense is bad.
It is. It's not good, but still. I'm just saying, you get Gronk going, all of a sudden you got two legit tight ends, you got two legit receivers. Scotty Miller had over 100 yards.
They did.
There's three good receivers.
They did.
AB's coming in too, by the way.
I'm not underestimating. I'll put them in the top five. I'm just saying that.
They got to be top three. They got to be right there.
If you want to say they're top three, that's fine, but they're not better than the Chiefs.
I wouldn't say better than the Chiefs just because Mahomes is that good.
Right. You guys are the best offense in the league, and I just said no. Now, I would still take Tannehill and the Titans over that. And that's fine if you don't. That's fine. Like,
it's close. It's close. I do think, obviously, I like...
Tampa Bay is really, really good. I said in week three that they're my pick to win the NFC. I said I think they're the most complete team. But, I mean, like, that team did score 19 points against the Bears 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's kind of weird when you think about it. I mean, how many pretty much other than week one?
They were awful week one, which, I mean, that's week one, whatever.
They've been
but
pretty
like,
much good since other than that Chicago game.
They scored 19 points
against
Chicago, and, I mean, it's been a long time since the Chiefs have been held under 20, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't even know when the last time probably
was. Right? I mean, that hasn't really happened.
Has ever been held under 20? I feel like that's probably not that likely, honestly.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
There was that Chargers game this year where they scored, like, what, 20, 23? So they got close, but, I mean... Buffalo, they kind of went through the motion, just ran the ball the whole time. But, like, I mean, the Bucks are really, really good. They might be, like, number two in my power rankings when they come out tomorrow. Like, they're really good. I'm not going by wins and losses. They're really good. Any more headlines? Don't need them. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. You want to take a guess at the four highest quarterbacks grade-wise in the NFL yesterday? The four highest.
Tom Brady
comes in at number three at 90.4 on his Pro Football Focus grade.
Brady. Can I get a Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert is not in the top four. Cam, you're out. You lose.
Dang it. I just like Justin Herbert.
I will say it was a good weekend for the white quarterback. It's been a while since we've had four white quarterbacks in the top four. The white quarterback renaissance, baby. Okay, guess you guys don't want to play. Number four came in as Matt Stafford.
That was my guess.
Matt Stafford, bounce back performance from him. It's weird because I feel like the Falcons defense has been playing well, but Matt Stafford still carved him up when he had to. Sorry to remind you.
It's just the last drive.
But he was when he had to.
Yeah, I guess.
He had to. They were down six, and he carved him up. And then they hit a 50-yard extra point to win, or a 48-yard extra point to win.
I was like, please. Oh, boy.
Number two, his best receiver went down, but his grade went up. Baker Mayfield comes in at a 91.2. Baker looked good yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Imagine what Ryan Tannehill is going to do to that defense. Bengals fans, you ready? And number one, his best wide receiver is too focused on beating people's ass, so he had to beat the Carolina Panthers' ass. Drew Brees comes in at 92.5. Your top four quarterbacks of the week. Brees, Baker, Brady, Stafford.
The old heads and Baker out there getting it done.
The old heads, the guy that's been left to rot in Detroit for his whole career, and Baker. Which credit to Brees and Brady. I mean, I've been talking about how washed they are, and both of them have been pretty good this year so far. Now, again, the question is, can they do it for a full year?
Mm-hmm.
They're old. That's the worries. But both of them played really well. I didn't watch much of that Saints-Panthers game.
Yeah,
I did see Marquez Callaway had a lot of yards in the first half.
Did he really? I knew he was going to have to play. I mean, they're missing their top two
guys.
When
I say a lot of yards, when I looked, he had five catches for like 52 yards or something like that. So, I mean, like he was early in the game.
He was their leading receiver that game.
Yep. What did he end up with?
Eight catches, 75.
So he was their number one receiver.
He also had a touchdown and got called back.
Yep, yeah, I did see that. They caught him for an OPI. Yep. Yeah. Well, they got called for an offensive pass.
See how the game ended with the 60-yard field goal? What did you think about that approach?
Should have hit it, right?
I mean, it was close.
I mean, he had enough leg for it. That's what I'm saying. Like,
I think it was a little short.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think it came up like a little short.
Okay, I thought he missed it wide. So no, I didn't see it. I just saw they missed a 60-yard field goal at the end.
It was like 64, wasn't it?
Joey Sly.
Joey Sly.
Yeah.
Joey Sly.
I mean, you got a better chance of making that than hitting a Hail Mary,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
That's not good. Yeah.
I'm sure he's hit it before.
Yeah.
Like in practice. I mean, for them to feel confident to even try it. He's got a leg. I'm sure he hit it before.
It was in the dome, too, wasn't it?
In the dome, yep. Yeah. So, I mean, like, no dome, no fans, no wind. Don't have to worry about it. Just practice kick, and he almost hit it.
I just feel like you don't have either, like, jump ball wide receivers either with, like, DJ
I guess Robbie Anderson's pretty big. He's tall. Yeah.
I just feel like they're more, like, deep threat, not really jump ball kind of
guys. No, sure. I mean, like, there's not very many receivers that you trust to go out there and, like, you know, come down with a Hail Mary. So, I mean, I'm sure the kicker's made it before. DJ Moore was burning their ass, though. Got behind him that one time.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Kamara, eight catches for 65 yards, 83 yards on the ground. He continues to be an elite weapon for New Orleans. Be interested to see if New Orleans brings back Michael Thomas because they've been winning without him.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense has been looking fine. Like, Breeze hasn't looked cooked the last couple weeks. Now, we'll see because I do still think if they're going to try to win a championship, they need Michael Thomas. But maybe the juice ain't worth the squeeze.
You buying into the trade rumors?
I just don't know who would trade for him at this point. I mean, they just gave him like a 5-year, like $100 million, like $150 million deal, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if he was actually hurt last week or not.
What, you talking about yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday.
That's what
yeah.
I wonder, too, because he was healthy for the Monday night game against the Chargers.
But they just got in trouble for beating somebody's ass,
and
then they pulled
had
him
out. Week after they said he had Chargers
a,
game.
And then they said he had a hamstring, not the ankle anymore.
Well, they said he pulled his hamstring or something at practice.
I thought maybe that's where the trade rumors came from, just because it was a late scratch.
I want to see what they do the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They go at Chicago, at Tampa. Mm. Yeah. Both defenses have been pretty good so far this year. The Bucs by far the number one defense. The Bears have still been a good defense.
Yep.
So you got the Bears and Saints this week. That's right. That's what you said.
Yes.
Who do the Bears have coming up after the Saints?
I don't.
Okay.
Is there a reason you want to know? Just like
I just feel like they've had a decently easy schedule so far.
They got the Titans coming up, and I think it is the next week after that.
Yeah,
Rams, Saints, Titans, Bears, or Vikings. I about said Bears.
They got a couple of tough games coming up. We'll see what happens to them tonight.
So I have to play the Packers twice.
Which, well. I mean, it's good if you're chasing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I guess they both got one loss at this point.
We think they're making the playoffs?
The Bears?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so, either.
I still bet no. I've gotten sucked back into my Lions pick.
What's the Lions record now?
They're 500, baby.
3-3.
They've battled back. Yeah. They've battled back. They've figured things out. Their offense looks pretty good now all of a sudden. I mean, like, at least they feel like they've got a couple skill players. Like,
got Galladay back.
Like, Swift's actually running the ball pretty well at this point.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do yesterday against the Falcons? I know he had a touchdown early, but I want to say, didn't he have like 70 yards early in the game?
No.
He didn't? Was that the week before?
Our run defense is good. I've been trying to tell you all this for the past 18 weeks.
Your team's good.
They're leading rusher at 29 rushing yards.
But you've been telling us the whole team's good, and the team's got one win. So your run defense is good. Everything else sucks.
I'll take it. Yeah, no, he had a touchdown early in the game, but he just had 27 yards. Peterson had 29 yards.
He did play good against last week, though, against the Jags.
Maybe that was it. He had a
That was his 100-yard, two-touchdown game.
Okay, glad I missed him in fantasy.
Then they play the real defense.
It has to be frustrating that defense has figured things out in Atlanta.
Yeah. And the offense second season in a row that we've done this.
What caused him was that strip sack on Matt Ryan after Matt Prater missed the field goal.
Matt Ryan turned the ball over when it matters? Oh, man.
That's what caused him.
Shock.
Yeah, and the...
But yes, if I think the Bears make the playoffs, I mean, they're 5-1, so they do have a nice little lead, especially with the 7. Because, I mean, you're basically looking at 3 divisions for 6 spots, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The NFC West, though, is still in good position. Everyone's over 500. Like, theoretically, if the Rams take care of business tonight at home, will you go over to my bookie, Draven, and check the spread for me tonight? I want to say they're 6-point favorites. So if the Rams take care of business like they're supposed to, they'll be 5-2. And that NFC West would be 5-1, 5-2, 5-2, 4-3. Everyone would still be positioned pretty well.
Rams are -6 at home.
Rams are -6 at home.
Mm-hmm.
Over on my book. Who do you guys like tonight? Rams -6. Cam, who you got?
I think I'm going to go Rams. I think Rams. I think it'll be a little closer than 6, but...
So you think the Bears cover?
Like 24-20 or something like that.
You think the Rams win, but the Bears probably cover?
Yeah.
That Rams team got embarrassed last time out.
Yeah, they need a bounce back game.
I still don't know how good
tough defense. Yeah, I know. Tough defense to go against, but they have weapons, so.
To me, it's hard to lay 6 points with the Rams right now just because I don't know how good they are.
Exactly.
I think I lean towards Bears +6. I don't know.
That's a tough spread. Only reason
Vegas is pretty good at it.
Yeah. The only reason I like the Rams is because, like you said, embarrassing loss. A well-coached team coming off an embarrassing loss. They usually bounce back and play pretty well. Kyle Shanahan and the Niners.
Didn't work out so well for Bill Belichick yesterday, who was coming off an embarrassing loss to the Broncos.
Maybe they're just, like you said, maybe they're not that well-coached. Maybe they're a little...
I do wonder about their coaching this year.
Maybe.
I'm not going to go all the way out and say they stink and that Belichick's washed. Or having, just a bad year until they lose to Buffalo, though, because I think they're going to try as hard as they can. I think you're going to see Bill Belichick try to put the best game plan possible to beat that Buffalo team, because he knows the season's basically coming down to that. Right?
Yeah. The Bills did not look good either, did they?
The Bills haven't looked good the last 3 weeks. They looked bad against the Chiefs, the Titans killed them, and they didn't look good against the Jets. But like I said, if you're talking about the Bears and the Rams, in this playoff hunt, like this is a huge game tonight. Potential tiebreaker purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 spots for 3 divisions, basically. Because, I mean, I think we all agree at this point the NFC East is only getting their 1 division winner, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not getting any wild card teams. We all agree with that.
I think that's a good take.
So the Bears, Packers at 5-1, the Bucks and Saints at 2 losses. And then, like I said, the whole NFC West have to feel good. The Panthers are probably like, hey, if we beat the Falcons, we're back to 500. Got to be honest, Cam, at 6 losses, it's going to be really tough for the Falcons at this point.
I know. Especially since we have the toughest schedule remaining in the NFL.
It's going to be really tough.
I'm really excited for that stretch of Saints, Raiders, Saints, Chargers, Bucks, Chiefs, Bucks.
You told me the Bucks were going to suck, though. Yeah. So you guys,
I'm pumped for those.
You guys always win, though, so.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. And the Saints. Not worried about them.
This segment is brought to you by mybookie.ag. The spread tonight, Bears +6. So if you ever find yourself wishing you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge or Hayden's NFL knowledge, Hayden, who you got tonight?
Rams, big. Blowout.
Taking the Bears.
All right.
Thank you. Taking the Bears. Use the promo code Knoxville to activate your cash offer. You can double your cash for your initial deposit at mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Plus, they'll have a lot of props for the Monday night game.
Oh, yeah. There's 93 props right now.
93 props over on MyBookie?
Yep.
That's a lot of props.
Options are endless.
I got to give them props for all their props. Winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. Stick with us. All right, it is Monday. It's 2:30-ish. Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Hayden, please hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, what do you got for me, Cameron? Who won the weekend?
I've had my number 3 winner. I had to give it to the Steelers for being the last undefeated team in the NFL.
Yep.
Hard to do.
Yep.
Props to them.
Yep.
And my number 3 winner.
Congratulations, Steelers.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That prop bet took them to have the most wins in the regular season. Looking nice. Looking nice.
That is looking good.
Steelers number 3 winner of the weekend.
I had them at 4-1 to win the division, so I wasn't that upset about the loss. Yeah, but I was going to lose to somebody. So
there you good. Go. My number 2 winner of the weekend, I had to give
Big
it
Ben
to...
He threw the ball in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
That was his average time until
release. He was just snap, gone.
2.02 seconds from snap to throw. That was just...
That's so insane.
Like, the Titans couldn't get any pass rush, but like you can't get a pass rush in 2 seconds. Yeah. You just can't do it.
Quick draw. It takes you 2 seconds to get anywhere near him if there wasn't people in the way, but...
When they made Ben, that's going to be something to watch for, because, I mean, like... As he got older, he doesn't really want to get hit. And, like, the Ravens next week, you know, that's a huge game. They just went and traded for Yannick and Galway. Like, they want to, you know, get to the passer, but Big Ben's not letting them. But when the Titans did force Ben to hold it for 2.5 seconds, he was 6 of 11 with an interception. He was not good when he, you know, couldn't get it out immediately. Just something to keep an eye on. Sorry. Who's your number 2?
Interesting. My number 2 winner of the weekend is Habib. Finished his UFC career undefeated and retired on the spot. Best pound for pound fighter in the world. Went out with a triangle leg choke, which is hard to do. There's only been 3 of those done in the UFC. It was done. He tried to tap too, but the ref missed it. But Habib,
it's gotta be a humbling feeling to get choked out with someone's legs.
Yeah, like jeez, oof. But yeah, great fight by him, undefeated, 29-0. He promised his mom this would be his last fight because he was basically, you know, he lost his dad this year. So he was like, he doesn't want to do it anymore without his dad. So he has retired on top as one of the best all time for sure.
It was a bit of a surprise because he said he wanted to, you know, he had said his goal had always been to leave at 30-0.
Mm-hmm.
That's what him and his dad always talked about, getting to 30-0 and then leaving.
Yeah, and I think he did say on like an Instagram post after, he was like, that was kind of like my dad's dream.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna leave it at this.
Lives at home with his mom.
Yeah,
he still lives at home. He lived at home with his mom and dad, but then of course his dad's passed. He says his mom didn't even want him to fight.
Yeah.
This last one, but he's like, I'll do. He basically said he wanted to give Gaethje a shot
because
he had a lot of respect for Gaethje, and that was kind of cool. You don't really see that much from Habib, but he's like, you know what, Justin, I know you take care of your people. You're a good person. I wanted to give you the spot. You deserve it. Blah blah blah. He's like, and that's it for me.
Yep. So.
And Gaethje was really complimentary of Habib too, which I mean, it was kind of. A change of speed just to see somebody choked out. Like, you know what? It's fine. I got choked out. At least I didn't take a lot of damage. I'll be good to go.
Yeah. That's one way of looking at it for sure.
Like, yeah, there's no long-term effects from getting choked out. You just go to sleep. You wake back up. It's better than getting your jaw broken.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeez. And my number one winner of the weekend, I had to go with Tom Brady just because he's dominating this Belichick-Brady debate and looking good while doing it. It's not even just like he's skirting by and – one game, better record than the Patriots or anything. No, he's handling business. Belichick is not handling business. And Brady's looking good. And like you said, he should be creeping into those MVP talks, you would think.
We actually had a lot of overlap here. My number 3 winner was Habib.
Okay.
He probably would have been higher on any other weekend, but, man, they made him fight at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Most people didn't even know the fight was happening. I saw people on the timeline be like, wait, the fight already happened? I thought UFC happened at night. But Habib, 29-0, pound for pound, the GOAT. No disputes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess for Gaethje, it's not even that big of a loss. Like, he'll get now that the title's vacated, he'll get a title
shot soon.
Maybe
yeah.
Conor versus Poirier will be for the title. Who knows?
Yeah.
But he's my third biggest winner of the weekend to retire at 29-0. I liked his moment in the ring after winning. Just kind of, you could see him soaking it in, just doing that for his dad. Number two, I went with a tie, but I went with two Big Ten teams. I went with Michigan and Indiana.
Okay, yep.
Michigan and Indiana. Michigan for different reasons. That was a statement win. I thought, that was a terrible beginning to the game. They go three and out. They get a punt blocked. Minnesota scores in two plays. It's down 7-0. You're like, oh, man, is Minnesota about to race?
Yeah.
Michigan out of here? Nope.
Other way around.
Michigan could not be stopped. They had their way with Minnesota's defense. Michigan looks legit through 1 week. That's one of Harbaugh's best wins of his tenure.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is kind of crazy, but like a 30-point beatdown on the road and at a top-20 team, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then I went with Indiana. Big emotional win. You beat Penn State. You get a top-10 win. Michael Penix Jr., big win for him. Number one, I agree, Tom Brady.
Big weekend.
Tom Brady.
As much as I hate to admit it.
Bucks look awesome, man.
Yeah. Jeez.
Brady on fire.
Mm-mm-mm.
Who do they play the next couple weeks? I know I said they got the Saints in a couple weeks in week 9, but who do they play? Are they off this week or?
Giants.
Oh.
So they are.
Oh, boy. The Monday Night Football game against the Giants. So that'll be good for Brady's MVP candidacy. Give him a national game for people to praise him, and then he comes out and throws for 3 touchdowns, and they put up another 30-something points on that Giants team.
He's also a winner because he just got AB to add to that offense.
Yeah, that's true.
Jeez.
Who do you got losing this weekend, Cameron?
My number three loser of the weekend, I gave it to OBJ. Tough to go down with a ACL injury.
Although he did lock in $15 million next year.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess depends on how you look at it. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I probably would tear my ACL for $15 million.
Oh,
I think that's a guarantee.
Take my ACL out. I'll never make a sharp cut to the side ever again the rest of my life.
Fair enough.
And torn ACL doesn't even matter to us. Like, my basketball playing days will be over, but so what? I'll have another hobby for $15 million.
You can afford another hobby, too.
Oh, take my ACL.
Yeah. Have both of them with that.
All 10 of my toes.
You would have trouble walking.
It's fun.
I want to be able at least to walk if I got $15
million. Yeah. Come on. Not all your toes. Maybe a couple times.
Yeah, leave
if it was all 10 of your toes, could I walk in a walking boot? I feel like a walking boot would keep me up, right?
I don't know. You need your big toe for stability. I know.
Why don't I have a big-ass walking boot? Would that not do the trick?
I have no idea.
I don't know. Just put me in big-ass walking boots.
So we need to get a second boot for Draven, and then we'll test it out.
There we go.
And then cut all 10 of his toes off. All right, so you had number three.
Yeah, OBJ number three. My number two loser is the Gulf Coast because
what happened there?
Basically there's another tropical storm brewing and it's headed for Louisiana again. This has already been the most hurricanes make landfall in the U.S. ever in history.
Wow.
We have had 10 hurricanes make landfall in the U.S. The previous record was 7. Louisiana's tied for the most ever landfalls already with 4. And, yeah, right now it's a tropical storm, Zeta. We're already in the Z's. Like, we're flying through hurricanes this year.
Oh, wow.
Hurricane Zeta is a tropical storm, Zeta, but it is projected to become a hurricane and heading straight for Louisiana. So they may get the record-breaking 5th hurricane. And they're already recovering from the past 2 if it recently hit. So Gulf Coast and Louisiana are in some trouble, so they are losing. And my number one loser of the weekend is running backs that lack awareness of when to score touchdowns. I mean, Penn State's running back, I'm not sure who it was. You know, that guy was just excited to get into the end zone. You know, Journey Brown was out, so he was getting the nod. He just was excited to hit the end zone, scored. Of course, we know what happens next. Indiana ended up tying the game, winning in overtime. And, of course, Todd Gurley had the same situation happen the next day for the Falcons. And, led to the Lions being able to win that game as well. Tough weekend for running backs like that. They lost this weekend.
Where does that rank in terms of toughest losses to swallow for the Falcons?
It's up there. It's up there. I mean, all the ones this year are up there. Like, I think ESPN said we have lost, like, 4 games where we had a 98% or higher win percentage. Which is
at least 3.
Okay, yeah. It may have been 3. It was 3 or 4, somewhere in there. No, it was at least 3 because, of course, like, last night Bears, Cowboys, and I think we blew another one too. Like it's all blending together. It's
a very real reality where you guys are 4-3.
Yeah, at least. Jeez, yeah, no.
How does that make you feel?
It's bad because it's like they're right there. Like,
do you feel vindicated for thinking you're going to be good? Because I mean, you have been good for.
You can see the potential why they should be, you know, good because of you know games they could have won, but then they blow it.
The Atlanta stereotypical DNA that everyone exactly points to.
It's cursed. It's cursed down there. It's crazy, but I'll still support my boys. Get football again in like 3 days. Oh yeah, let's do it again.
You know, it's a one-win team, but it's a one-win team that seems fun to watch.
Yeah, and you don't want to. You can't get caught sleeping because. Well, I mean, you can get caught sleeping. You just have to wake up in the fourth quarter.
You just can't get caught sleeping for all four quarters. Yeah. You just got to wake up
eventually.
You can
take a three-quarter nap. And then
the Panthers are only 2.5-point favorites.
Yeah. Yeah.
At home?
We play the division well. Our defense has been playing better.
The Falcons have also covered. I mean, they covered.
We've been covering like every game.
covered yesterday, we didn't
cover.
Right?
They didn't cover yesterday.
Were they favored yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they was dogs. Well, maybe not.
No, yeah, we were favored.
They covered against the Cowboys and
I think we missed one other game we were favored. I think we were favored against the Panthers in the first game. We didn't cover that one either.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you. No, I mean, you lost
to Seahawks. Chicago.
You were
didn't
the favorites
cover,
there. Yeah. No, they haven't covered. They haven't covered. You're wrong about that.
Yeah,
they
just lots of close games in the comebacks, you know?
Yeah, they are.
I'm trying to give you a good stat, but I guess, yeah, they haven't covered well.
Yeah, they're like, they're 2-5 against the spread. What the hell are you talking about?
Nice. They are 5-2 in the. Over on if you and taking the over, and two of the last three have been unders, and I was still taking the overs, and didn't work out too well.
My losers of the weekend, I went with another tie, couldn't make a decision. I went with two coaches, kind of for different reasons, or at least same reasons, but different, pedigree. I went with Mike McCarthy and Bill Belichick. They're both just losers this year. McCarthy, even more so. Belichick losing in part because of, like, I mean, I think you've seen what happens with that roster kind of being exposed. Now, granted, like, they also had, like, five players opt out on defense, but, man, that offense, you can't just keep putting no resources into your offense. You have no receivers. How the hell do you draft N'Keal Harry over DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown? I don't understand. How do you do that? How does Ole Miss have DK Metcalf and AJ Brown on the same team and also not just set like every offensive record? How do you have those two receivers on your team?
It's like that year that LSU had Mettenberger, OBJ, and Landry, and
they were awesome on offense though. Their defense sucked that year.
Record wise,
yeah, no, they scored like 30-something points a game. That was the only offense like Les Miles has ever had.
Yeah,
the problem was their defense. That was the year their defense couldn't stop anybody. I mean, I'm serious. How do you take N'Keal Harry?
I don't know.
Even Debo Samuel was there too. Although, like, I mean, also like 49ers. How do you take? Debo Samuel over Metcalf and Brown. But either way, at least, like, he's good.
Yeah. Jeez.
The Chiefs, do you think they regret taking Mecole Hardman over DK Metcalf? I imagine they regret that, right?
A little bit. I think that was when they were, like, worried Tyreek Hill was about to leave the team, though.
It was.
So they were like, oh, we want the speed option still, so.
I think we saw last night DK's pretty fast, too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he ran, like, a 4.3 or something.
Bill Belichick, just bad. That roster's caught up to him. Matt McCarthy, bad. Locker room hates him. Number two, which is crazy. I never would have thought I would have put them on here, but number two, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
You get a lot of hope. You're like, hey, we found the quarterback of the future. Oh, wait, now he's got the Rona.
Yep.
Now he's got the Rona. And number one, this story is kind of bad on our part, although it's a football Monday. It's hard to get college basketball in here. But number one, college basketball, the biggest loser. You guys see what happened with their locations or their events that they were trying to move to Orlando?
Oh, yeah. Disney said no or something?
ESPN and college basketball could not come together on an agreement. Basically, ESPN wanted to treat it like they did the NBA, which is like, hey, we have to do all this tough testing. We have to follow the CDC guidelines. And college basketball is like, no. Essentially, they didn't want to have to essentially, ESPN wanted to test everyone, including people that had been cleared for 90 days. And the school is basically like, we don't want those to come back in. You know, if the players have had the Rona, we don't want to have to test them until 90 days after they have tested positive. And essentially ESPN and said, okay, then you're not coming. We're not doing this together. So that leaves a lot of college basketball schools out, in, you know, out and you know, needing to put some elite guys on their schedule. Like, I mean, the Jimmy V Classic, the Champions Classic, like Michigan State, Kansas, and Gonzaga are all going to play. Virginia, Florida State, Texas Tech, we're going to be there. And for the preseason NIT, Tennessee's affected by this. They were supposed to be in the Jimmy – were we in the Jimmy V or the Champions Classic? The Champions?
I think so. That sounds right.
In the preseason?
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to go to Charleston.
But we had two, I think.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
I only thought we had one.
Tennessee's affected by this, too. So not good for preseason college basketball. As ESPN's like, sorry, not doing this bubble.
That is unfortunate. Man.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call on the program, brought to you by Smarter Searches, Knoxville's premier. What's happening over here? Knoxville's premier digital ad agency. We use them here at the station. We trust them. We recommend you. If you're a business owner and you want to upgrade your digital footprint, do the smarter thing and make the move to Smarter Searches, an award-winning digital marketing agency. Locally owned and operated right here in Knoxville. Go to smartersearches.com to learn more. We got time for maybe two stories. Cam, what do you got for us? I'll pump the brakes.
I got news about the moon.
Are we moving there? I'll stop. Moon me, Daddy.
It may be, you may think I'm going to talk about how they just cast Moon Knight in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I'm not.
Man on the Moon, Kid Cudi?
No, Number three, scientists have confirmed. Yeah, the moon's got all sorts of stuff today. Scientists have confirmed water exists on the moon. So
can we drink it?
That's
what kind of water is it?
It's there's some ice water up there too, but they also think there is just, you know, normal water in the side, on the shadowy side. But it does make the possibility of like doing stuff and like building facilities on the moon more realistic, because water is a big commodity in space. You can use it, you can treat it to drink, you can break it into hydrogen and oxygen for like basically like space shuttle gas. You can also, you know, turn the H2O just to the oxygen and, you know, breathe it. So water is very versatile and a big time when in space. So if you ever wanted to move to the moon, it may be more possible than ever if they can actually get up there and figure out the exact amount of water they have up there.
When's the last time we went to the moon?
Have we ever?
I mean, are there people out there that think we've never been to the moon?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the biggest conspiracy theories.
No. Well, I thought the biggest conspiracy is that we faked the first moon landing. Not that we've never been. Just that we didn't beat Russia there. Isn't that like a big part of the moon conspiracy is just that we faked that one?
When have we gone back? When is the last time we went
back? Well, we went back there like a couple years afterwards. Like, I mean, after like, we made a couple of trips like in the 60s/70s, right?
Were those broadcasts, though?
Wasn't the Apollo, they just went to the moon?
Right, but I'm saying the first one is like the one that people say we faked just because we couldn't afford to lose to Russia. Saying, yeah. How many times have we been to the moon? Let me check. We've been six.
Between,
we went six times between 69 and 72. It's like I said.
I think that would rope into the conspiracy theory, because I think people's thing about it is that like we were able to pull it off back then, and now with better technology and stuff like that, that like we can't just like casually go up there. I think that's why the people
casually go up there.
Well, they don't do it, so people are like, "Oh, is there?" Yeah.
Well, do we need to?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess we need to now to find out.
The only reason
the water.
We did was because of Russia, right? Like, it was
essentially.
I mean, it was like a jealousy thing. It was like, or not jealousy, but like we're the best.
This might sound stupid, but yeah, never mind.
But like, yeah, people are. That's what the biggest argument people say. Like, okay, if we could go back in '69, like, why couldn't we do it now?
I feel like everyone. I mean, do people think we can't do it now? I thought everyone like.
Like we should be able to,
I would hope so.
Oh, we can go to the moon. We can go to the moon.
I mean, we're talking about going to Mars.
Yeah, we can go to the moon. We've moved on to bigger and better
things. Last time anyone has visited the moon is 1972, December 1972.
You do think they would go again?
Yeah,
like recent, just so,
especially if you're doing like the research on the water and stuff. Now, like, I don't know, weird stuff. What are they hiding? What's up there?
Aliens.
Probably.
The Drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.